Coming up today, it is Tuesday in an election season. That means it is Candidate Tuesday on Afternoons with Amos. And for the next couple of weeks, we did it last Wednesday, we kind of started school board interviews. The Indianapolis Star is ignoring school board elections. The television stations are ignoring school board elections. It's amazing. The TV stations and the Star always talk about education, but when it comes to hearing from the men and women who set the policies for our school systems in this city, they go and run and hide, but we don't. We provide the opportunity, particularly for the school districts that have the largest number of African-American students in it. Last week, we had Washington Township and Lawrence Township in the house, and then we timed the next series of interviews for fall break. That way, Drew, the teachers can be listening, the school bus drivers, the cafeteria workers, all the hardworking men and women, as well as the students, because they're home, and because students ask great questions, and some of them are 18 years old, or will be 18 by November the 4th, and they'll be able to vote in the election. We've got Eastside in the house for the full 2 hours. There are 8 people running in Warren Township for 3 seats. It's like Family Feud. You know, top 3 answers win. But there are eight things, and we've got 3, and we've got some others that will come in our second hour. But Warren Township is in the house. Your opportunity to meet the men and women who want the responsibility for leading the Warren Township schools. That district has roughly 12,100 some odd students in it. 48.3% of Warren Township students' body is African American. That's the fourth largest percentage, actually third largest percentage of African Americans of any school district in the city. Pike is first, IPS is second, and then Warren, fourth largest number of African-American students of any school district in the city and county. 72% of students in Warren Township schools are on free and reduced lunch. Their I-STEP passing rate combined, passing math and English, language arts, 64.2%. Graduation rate, 83.4%. Graduating, walking across the aisle with that diploma on time. And this is an opportunity to hear for the candidates who want the responsibility of guiding the school system for the next 4 years. In the House, in our first hour, we have 3 candidates here with us. Anthony Tony Mendez. Tony Mendez, he is the incumbent. He is currently the president of the Warren Township School Board. We have candidates Terry Amos. She's halfway there in terms of a good name. And Cheryl Heiser. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you. And we're just going to go around in the order that I just and ask each of you, why are you running? Let me start with Tony Mendez. Well, first of all, welcome. Why are you running?
Why am I running? Well, I am an incumbent. I am the current board president. And the reason I'm running is because I love every minute of being a school board member. Mm-hmm. I have the opportunity to play a very small part in the education of the children of Warren Township, and I think anyone who has been on the board will definitely run again, because we get to see all the good things that happen in Warren Township. We hear about a few bad things too. Excuse my voice. Right. My voice isn't as deep as King Earl Connolly, but I may be there by the end of the program.
10 points. All right.
All right. So, but anyway, so. It's a very easy reason to want to run again. We have a lot of good things going on in Warren Township, in our schools, and mm-hmm. I'm just one board member out of 7, but I feel like I have the opportunity to impact our schools in a positive way, and that's why I'm running.
I appreciate it, Terry Amos. Why are you running?
My decision to run on this for the school board is based on the best interest of the children of Warren Township and their futures. As an educator, I believe that all students are capable of learning and that there are achievement gaps that we need to close. By being a member of the school board, I feel that I can help with innovative ideas, collaborate with board members to advance the township, as we embrace the future to become front runners in education. I believe passionate in what Warren Township is doing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Warren's headed in a good direction, and I want to be part of that future to make sure that all children are succeeding.
Cheryl Heiser, why are you running?
Well, first of all, I'm running because I love this district. I've lived there for 28 years, and it's my home, and I mm-hmm. want to make sure that it keeps heading in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Also because I'm concerned about the direction that education is taking nationwide. Mm-hmm. I feel that it's taking away the local power and that we need to make sure that we retain that power so that we can be responsive to what needs to be changed or amended or corrected. I really would like to see more faith and trust put into our educators who are with our children every single day, mm-hmm. instead of taking the autonomy away from them. And I think the best way to do that is to be a voice who can affect that change.
Let me ask for Terry Amos and Cheryl Heiser, if you were elected on November the 4th and you're elected to the Warren Township School Board, what would you do differently? What would your priorities be? Cheryl, let me start with you. So you're elected. What would you do differently than what's being done now? What would your priorities be?
I'm really glad that you asked me that question. I think the very first place to start is in the classroom. Mm-hmm. I think we need to remember that we have professionals who have gone through a long set of years earning their degrees, earning their licensing. Mm-hmm. We have the interview process is very rigorous in Warren Township. We have obviously felt that they are qualified individuals to be there. And I would like to see, first and foremost, for us to remember that teaching in a classroom is an art. It is something that you have to, first of all, in order to be effective, you have to be passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is the first place to start. Secondly, I talk about trust because I think that we need to have trust in our families. We have a 72% poverty rate. And I fear that...
In the district?
In our district. Mm-hmm. Free and reduced lunch.
Okay, right.
Yes. And I fear that the mentality is that, first of all, we may not be as culturally diverse and culturally aware mm-hmm. as we may need to be because we look at that percentage and that rate and we think of stereotypes that come to mind mm-hmm. instead of realizing that we have mothers and fathers who... They're working two or three jobs. Mm-hmm. They're working very hard to make sure that their students are clothed appropriately for the school that they attend. Mm-hmm. They're making sure that they have the food that they need to focus on their education. And they're making sure that they get to school with their homework finished or whatever their assignments may be. So we have to be respectful and trust that these families mm-hmm. will provide what we ask of them instead of... sometimes just assuming that there's right. that stereotypical free and reduced lunch.
Okay. Terry Amos, if you're elected, what would you do differently or what would your priorities be?
My priorities would be making sure that all of our students in Warren Township have opportunities to be mm-hmm. successful. Mm-hmm. Speaking about our free and reduced lunch, the parents do work hard. Mm-hmm. We see that every day. And those children are achieving. But one of my focuses that I think right now that we need to look on with the state changing everything and having ISTEP taking three different names in the last 3 years mm-hmm. and knowing that that's going to be a rigorous test for our students, how are we going to make sure that our teachers are prepared with the resources they need to be able to move our children forward? It's the resources out there when you look at the new testing that's going to be. We need to look at making sure our children, even in second, third grade, right. are literate with the computer, knowing how to use proper keystrokes with the timed test. So to me, the focus was going to be more on academics, making sure that the achievement for all students is there.
Tony Mendez, if you're reelected, what will your priorities be? Terry Amos kind of brought up whatever this son of ISTEP or ISTEP teaching to Common Core Light or the college and career ready standards that I voted against. But that's neither here nor there, where everybody is assuming that the scores are going to just fall down. If you're reelected, what are your priorities going to be?
Well, really, it's supporting the superintendent, the administration. Mm-hmm. As a board member, you're like a board of directors. I'm not the manager on the plant floor. I'm supporting the CEO, Dr. Dina Cushenberry in this case. Right. And, and letting them do the job that they've been hired to do, she and her administration. We have a very strong central office, and as you know, we were fortunate enough to get the Race to the Top grant, which was a $28.5 million infusion of federal dollars that we're using to implement some things, including the career and college readiness. Right. We're rolling out the CRPBIS, as you may know, the positive behavioral systems, and so really we're sort of on in the second year, I think, of a 4-year mission to implement some things. I know we talk about 21st century learning, right. And so I guess my priority would be to really support them to keep that ball rolling. As you may know, also we have one-to-one now education. We have Chromebooks that all of the students have, right. And so with the transition to Common Core or Common Core Lite or whatever you want to call it these days, as well as the rollout of the new technology, right. Last year was a real transition year for our folks in the classroom, and so this year we're just really trying to get better and let them do their job.
Does the fact that Warren Township got this grant, which is a lot of money, and people say, goodness, that's a lot of money, that's a great thing, does that throw people in the district off saying, well, that means the district should have no financial problems? What are the financial challenges from your position, Tony Mendez? And then let me ask Terry Amos and Cheryl Heiser, if there are financial challenges, if this legislature is going to continue to hold their side of spending flat or just increases right at around the rate of inflation for the general education budget, and Warren Township has always been a hard-working, blue-collar-type neighborhood, homeowners, the industry isn't there like it used to be, so that means there's going to be property tax pressure on the transportation budget, and you have aging buildings, not to say they're buildings are long in the tooth, because they really aren't, but I think when we talk with the Washington and Lawrence Township candidates, they recognize that at some point down the line, they've got to look at renovation and making sure that the existing buildings could... So does this grant cause maybe people in Warren not to think that there are some financial pressures? Tony?
I really haven't heard that blowback. I've heard a couple of people ask questions, hey, what are you guys going to do with the money? And I always point them to our website where the application is located, and it spells out exactly what we're doing. We were fortunate enough we wrote our scope of letter, our scope of work, and I believe we were of the 16 award winners, we were the first one to finish our scope, get it approved, and get those dollars rolling. Got a certain amount. I think it was 10% off the bat, and then in order to gain access to the rest of it, you had to.
Y'all did the work of getting the money in.
Yes,
now.
They did a very good job, and that allowed us last year to roll out the Chromebooks.
At the high school level, middle school, everybody got a Chromebook
all the way down,
it's like Oprah. Everybody got a Chromebook.
And so, but getting back to the financial part, our general fund is about $80 million overall. It's I believe it's $140 million overall with the transportation funds and so forth. And we're going to be real fortunate, in a few years when the debt from our Vision 2005, when we expanded we brought over built the freshman academy, the field house, the natatorium, and some of those things, the three middle schools we expanded in anticipation of some growth. That really didn't happen, but it did allow us to close two elementary schools, move the fifth and sixth graders over, to those buildings. So we actually have an intermediate academy and a middle school, both in a school within a school. And so, so that debt is going to be rolling off in a few years. So we feel like, I can't, go without mentioning David Holt, who is our CFO, who's fantastic. And he, along with our administration and school board members before me, had a real good vision and have been real good stewards of our tax dollars. And I just want to continue that.
Terry and Cheryl?
I do believe that Warren's pretty financially sound. One of the things that I'm concerned with the lackage of money by the legislation, with the cost of living, we're going to see changes. And as Tony said, it's going to be a few years before all that money is released from our 2005 vision. But until then, you know, we need to be very smart with how we spend the money and how we use money, and realize that everything that we put into place in the township for the kids has been cost-effective and has been used. The Race to the Top money has certain things that it needs to be divvied into. And I think right now that we're pretty sound as a district.
All right. Cheryl?
Well, and I was going to add to that, when I was listening to last week's broadcast, they were just discussing how the buildings were kind of in need of repair. And I think that Warren as a whole, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that if the if they were in need of repair over the last few years, we have been getting them up to,
so
there's been a lot of construction. And I think that the district did, when they accepted the Race to the Top grant or received the Race to the Top grant, did a nice job of explaining it building-wide to the different buildings, that the money was, you know, earmarked or separated. Right. It wasn't like just one checking account that we all poured all of our funds into and could just draw from.
Okay. 239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon's name is your opportunity to talk to the candidates for Warren Township School Board. Tony Mendez, Terry Amos, Cheryl Heiser, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Let's start today with Kevin. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for keeping those folks in Warren Township and throughout Indianapolis informed on the politics of the day, especially with respect to the school board. As an educator, I can honestly say that all three of those candidates in there are worthy of the position that they're vying for. There are two of them that I've never worked with or never met. There's one in there that I spent 2 years with at the School of Education over at IUPUI. And we were together 5 days a week for 2 years in a row, and that was Terry Amos. And I'll say that Terry, as an educator herself, and hi, Terry, you know who I am.
Hi, Kevin.
As an educator, I know Terry, her number one priority is the kids, as well as with the other two. Again, I do not know the other two, but if I lived in the district, my vote would go to Terry, solely because the dedication that she will give, and again, not to say that the other two would not, but because I know her personally, I've spoken to her many times with respect to education, and I know she's going to do a great job out there, so... and unless you know as well as I do that in advertising, if you hear it seven times, you're probably going to buy that product. I'm not going to say Terry Amos's name seven times, but for those that are out there in the audience, as well as the other two, give all three of them, get educated about what they're believing in, and more importantly, pick the one that you think can do the job for you and your family. I do not live in the district, but I do have family that lives in the district, nieces, nephews, cousins, and you can bet I'm going to be on the phone making those phone calls saying, hey, go out and get Terry, the lever on election day.
All right, Kevin, I appreciate it. The other two candidates, they were counting up to seven. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me ask the three candidates here, Tony Mendez, Terry Amos, and Cheryl Heiser. And there'll be a second group of candidates in our second hour from Warren Township running for school board. First of all, is there pre-K, in Warren that Warren operates? And if so, how is this pre-K, or how do you all see your pre-K being incorporated into whatever this thing is that the powers that be want to create in terms of quality pre-K?
Well, we do have preschool pre-K in our district at the Warren Early Education Center. And it's right now it's not funded, but you can, for our families in need, they can apply to receive assistance so that we can get that early, that crucial early right. education to our students. Because we know that once they start with a leg up, they just keep making progress from there.
Either of the other want to comment? Is there been any thought of how this is going to get integrated?
Well, I know there's been a lot of thought. We're kind of waiting to see what that's going to look like. So until hesitate to even promise what it's going to look like. But
are you all a little concerned that there, all this talk about, you know, we have to increase the level of quality pre-K in this city and county, particularly to help serve low-income 4-year-olds, and there's a significant number of low-income 4-year-olds in Warren Township, but it sounds like the powers that be haven't really enveloped and embraced the township districts in this conversation.
Well, I do know we, as you know, we recently closed 2 elementary schools, so we would have the building space if we needed to add pre-K to into our district.
But would the key also be in finding the teachers? Because I gather one of you, Cheryl or Terry, I can't remember which ones, talked about the quality of teachers and the importance of well-trained teachers. Not anybody can walk in off the street and not only teach a 7th grader, but especially a 3- or 4-year-old.
I honestly think that would be a part of the district mm-hmm. that we would need to address. Mm-hmm. Licensed pre-kindergarten or pre-early education teachers should be running those classrooms.
Okay.
And if we were earmarked dollars and were able to put those programs into place, it would be a great opportunity to give our students the stepping stones that they need to be successful for kindergarten and the elementary years.
And I want to agree with you. I think that if it comes to that, we need to not treat it as like a daycare facility. We need to have highly qualified, licensed teachers in those classrooms.
So if you all did this, you'd want to walk in at a level 3 or level 4.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So, but you all do not have pre-K now. I know some townships do, some don't.
It's not really.
Not district-wide, yeah. At the Early Childhood Center, we offer it.
Okay, and that's next to which school? Is that next to Warren Central?
It's a school of its own.
Yeah, it's the old Brookview Elementary School, which is located near 10th and Midhoffer.
Okay. And is that rated level 3 or level 4, or right now that's just like an early learning center?
No, I believe it is at level 3.
It's the one of level, okay.
I believe so.
See, that's where they need a better, so we all know what's going on. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is We'll Take a Break. We got candidates here from Warren. It's Warren Township Day on Candidate Tuesday. Tomorrow, Pike and Wayne will be here. Thursday, in our 2 p.m. hour, Kat Ping, the Republican candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District. She'll be here live taking your phone calls. On Friday, Mike Bolin, the Democrat running for state treasurer. At 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, Beth White, the Democrat running for secretary of state. They'll be there. It's our way of saying it's election time, y'all. It's time to get in gear. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.
This is Senior Chaplain Michael A. Wiley with the Marion County Sheriff Department. You are listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
And if you can't get through on the phones at 239-1310 with a question for our school board candidates, you can send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, or you can send me an email. Just go to praiseindy.com, click on email. That's what this person did, and their question for the Warren Township candidates. I have a son that just graduated from Warren Central, and there were times he struggled in school, and finding help was hard in the high school. Once a student is behind, there are some teachers that don't care, and that's it. Most of the time, the students that were struggling were African American. What would they do to make sure students get the help they need? Let me start with Cheryl Heiser.
Well, I think that first of all, our cut funding, with us being, you know, limited in funding, you can't just start setting up program after program to help those students that are needing that help. But I think that it's time for us to start thinking outside the box. What can we do to work together instead of working alone to make sure that each student is getting up to where they need? And I think that comes all, I think that it just comes down to support. I think if the teacher is at a point where they don't feel like they can help that struggling student, how can we support that teacher to support that student? And then, you know, get that student back up to where they need to be, up on par.
Terry?
I agree with Cheryl. One of the big things, sometimes I do know some teachers come into school early, but that could be a problem too for our students who are transported to school by bus. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily can they be there at that 6:30 mm-hmm. study table that a teacher's put in. I know that it does take money to get a teacher to stay after. But I think, too, that a child also has to ask sometimes for a little bit of help. And maybe if that teacher's not really helping, maybe they can go to the chairperson and see if there's like a study group or another teacher that tutors.
Is it also, and I'll let Tony also weigh in on this, is it also teaching parents and grandparents? Because if you've got everybody having a Chromebook up and down the line, something tells me that Warren is another one of these districts that have the system where students can literally know daily and parents can know daily where their kids stand in terms of the grades. And I'm beginning to wonder whether that really has sunk in with parents, that they literally can, before they go to sleep at night or when they're getting up in the morning, if they're checking their email from their friends or they're on Facebook, go in and check where your kids are in school and see where they are. Is that something that really that needs to be reinforced to parents and grandparents?
In fact, we have the parent portal, and the way it has been set up is the parents get the password and then they share it with their children. Well, what the board has asked this year is with these Chromebooks, we want the kids to have instant access, and I believe that's being rolled out or will be out here real soon, where the kids have instant access to their own grades, especially. I know since our kids were in middle school, we've shared that password with them. We encourage them to take ownership of their own education, and certainly if the kids on their Chromebooks can get to their grades immediately, they can tell whether they've missed a homework. It's a lot easier to defend it a week out as opposed to a month out.
And I need to tell people, a Chromebook, that's an iPad by another competitor that's not Apple.
Correct.
Just keep wondering, what's a Chromebook? It's an iPad made by a company other than Apple.
But to answer your first question, though, you know, we're always obviously looking at closing the achievement gap. That's something we look at all the time. And you know, with a building of 36, 37, 3,800 kids, I think there are some kids that unfortunately fall through the cracks, but it's not for lack of trying. In fact, I'll share a quick anecdote with you. Toward the end of the school year, obviously, we were trying to get all these kids graduated. I know an administrator who had was calling a kid's cell phone. He was real close to graduating and was encouraging him. She was encouraging him and making sure he was on track. And at some point he stopped answering his cell phone. So she grabbed her son's cell phone and called that number and he picked right up. And for this was about, I think, 2 or 3 weeks out from commencement and was on him. And then at some point he started to realize that was, you know, who it was when she called. And then she ended up using a third number. And I believe that person was fortunate enough to walk
on
Baker's life.
There
so, but again, it's not for lack of trying. I wish parents could come in and see the data walls that we have and where we're tracking these kids, especially at the elementary school level. You know, you see all these, post-it notes up on the wall, and we're tracking kids all the time. And I think sometimes at the high school,
maybe put it on YouTube. Anyway, good points. Let me go to Kelly at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
Oh, I was calling. I just wanted to know what types of checks and balances or policies and procedures they had in place for, like, the teachers to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. I know my son went to the intermediate school for like a semester. I took him out of there because I wasn't really pleased with his math teacher. And I want to just know, like, what do they do just to make sure that the teacher does get up out of his seat, doesn't just show, you know, YouTube videos for a math problem, but actually knows how to do the problem and teaches.
My audience is smarter than the host. That is a great question. Let me start with Terry, then Cheryl, then Tony. Terry?
You have to have faith in the teacher. Teachers do have an accountability rate. Administrators are required to assess the teacher 4 to 5 times a year. Whether it be walkthroughs, whether sitting through a lesson, maybe a 20-minute walkthrough and listening, talking with the children. And it's up to the administrator to hold the teacher accountable.
All right. Cheryl?
I would piggyback that. The teacher evaluation system requires several in the classroom evaluations per year. Some of them are unannounced, so that if that is certainly the case, then, you know, not that they want to jump in and surprise anybody, but if you're a highly effective teacher and you're always doing things in the best interest of the students for the maximum gains, then there's nothing to be worried about. And so in that instance, if they're just seated at their desk, that, you know, it eventually comes around.
Tony?
Well, if it was a Khan Academy YouTube video, you're probably okay. As you may know, Khan Academy is trying to make it to reach out and make education less expensive. And so if it was one of those, it wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, the teacher evaluation is in place, and I wish she would have stuck it out. And it's tough when you get those calls when things aren't going well. I wish maybe she could have talked to the principal or
she should have moved up to talk to the principal, and then moved to the superintendent, and ultimately moved to whoever's on the elected board.
Yes.
I appreciate it, Kelly. Let me go to Brother Motep at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Miss, I'm an ex-military guy. I love your explanations of following a chain of command. We've all done that in life. But I think in this day and age, sometimes that chain of command has too much politics involved, and that's why sometimes people do not follow up that ladder, because the ladder has already been greased, as I may say. But I'll get to my point. First of all, these are candidates for Warren Township, correct? Right.
Warren Township School Board. Yes.
Okay. What's the demographics of students in Warren Township? 47% black. I'm thinking.
48%.
48%. What's the demographics of black teachers in Warren Township?
Probably nowhere near that, because it's not that way in the state. Well, let me see if they know the answer while I'll look it up from the state's website.
Before you get to that, they can answer this. I'll finish this point real quick. Good cousin of mine just retired as an administrator at one of the esteemed schools in Indianapolis. I won't say, because you'll probably know who she is. But we had an enchanting discussion yesterday about our kids being set up a failure, about black kids learn in different capacities, about kids being taught in different capacities, about the violence and the bullying issue, and also about teachers being scared of our children. These are her words. Scared of our children. That is a problem when we have teachers that are scared of our children. Now, I'm born and raised. I'm about 50. Right. I come out of Gary. Out of 13 years of school, I only had 3 white teachers. I can point to many successful stories out of Gary from my age bracket. But let them answer that. And then what would they do to try to increase that to help balance maybe some fears that are there that may not have been sociological and can be solved.
Terry Amos definitely wants to respond to that. Let me say, on the state's website, 3-year-old data, so this is not the most current data, 9.5% of teachers as of 3 years ago were African-American in Warren Township. That is a fairly substantial percentage for a township school district. Terry Amos, I know you wanted to respond. I think the other candidates do as well.
I am a teacher in a urban school district, not in Warren Township, but another district here in Indianapolis. I teach sixth grade, and my classroom is made up of various groups. It does not matter if my kids are red, green, yellow, orange, blue. They are my kids. I am there to service them, to make them the best they can possibly be. That is what Warren's dedicated teachers believe in as well. We are not there to pass judgment. We are not in a classroom to set a student for failure. I try, and I'm sure, and I've seen it in the Warren, that our parents or our teachers are trying to make the kids the best they can possibly be. I don't know any teacher who's ever been scared of anyone. But you have to believe that children also have needs, sometimes aren't being met, and that's why they react in the classroom, and teacher has to be compassionate about that and try and help that student through a situation.
I'd like to Cheryl? Just continue also. I'm a former teacher, and when I was teaching, I had 100% communication rate with my families. My families, I, the last year that I was teaching, I had 4 white students in my classroom, and I had 32 students. So I think that the key is to start at the very beginning of the year, starting that conversation with your families, and let them know that it's a team. This is a team, and without the family at home, you cannot achieve the results in the classroom that you need to achieve. And it is so important to build that relationship with the families from the front desk, from the administration, from the classroom. It is vital in being successful in the classroom to build that relationship. And it does not matter. It didn't matter anyway, I will say, on my professional experience, what color my student was, as long as I built a relationship with that family. Some of my strongest, supportive parents that still run up and hug me in the district are of a color other than mine.
Tony, is it fair to say that this 9-some-odd% that I'm seeing 3 years ago is a higher percentage today?
I believe it is. And in fact, we like to also promote from within. So not just teachers, but administrators. We have a new principal at Brookview Elementary School, Charles Woods, who's been, who's African American, Greg Butler, who's, was classroom teacher. He's now the dean over there. And Maya Harden, she's the principal over at,
Sunny Heights.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we want to make sure we also have administrators of color, throughout the district. We have several over at the high school as well. And I know for a fact, because this issue has come up, and I know we've talked to our senior administrators in the district, and they talk about going to job fairs all the time, and really trying to, trying to get teachers of color into our district.
And this question came up before with the other candidates, and I went to the website. Now I'm gonna, this afternoon, I promise, I'm calling, yelling at state DOE. I don't understand why, since I'm sure the districts are providing more updated data to the state, why the state is not pushing teacher diversity data out to the public in a more timely manner. That's crazy. Let me go to Larry right quick at 239-1310, then we'll take a break. Hi, Larry.
I just want to say that they're putting on a display of how a district operates. The district is the common school. They know that they can operate at cost. They're not out paying people $110 a head to bring people to their party. Listen, do you have any candidates on your school board race that are being backed by Stanford Children or the Mind Trust? And how many of your candidates are a part of this situation with Mind Trust or Stanford Children, or are they sending out ads in your district to undermine your district? And how many actual charter schools do you have in your district?
I if my memory serves right, I thought there's only one charter school within the boundary of Warren Township, and we only have 3 candidates here. There'll be another 3 or 4 in the next hour. Any of you all endorsed by Stanford Children or the Mind Trust flooding mailboxes with mail? You said you wish.
Absolutely not. I can understand your concern, though, after all of the media about some of the candidates in other districts, but absolutely not.
Well, here's what happened in New York. A school district was not educating their kids properly. At least the rabbis thought they were not doing it. What they done is they sacked the school board and defunded the district. So I'm afraid that's what's going to happen here in Indianapolis. After they get their majority on the school board, they'll just defund. So,
well, like I said, hold that question for next Tuesday and next Tuesday and Wednesday when IPS is all up in here. I got an email at praiseindy.com, then we'll take a break. Yolanda asked the question. Will after school buses ever come back for student athletes or those who have to stay after for tutoring? Sometimes it's hard for working parents to get to kids and they may miss those opportunities to stay after school for extracurricular or tutoring. Also, are parents still having to pay $20 per sport per kid for away games? Ooh, is that going on in Warren? See the things I learned on the show. Hold on, let me let him answer. Is that what's happening, Tony Mendez?
Yes, it is. unfortunately, we've had to make some cuts, and that is a reality in Warren Township. But we hope to bring that back in the future. But that's where we are.
And that's because of the property tax situation, yes, as it relates to the transportation budget.
And that's a transportation fee. That's not a pay for play like some of the other districts that have to pay a lot more than $20 per sport.
There's other districts that pay more than that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, the things we learn on, see, this is another reason to get engaged, get involved, go to school board meetings, find out what's going on. 239-1310, 239-1310. Now we'll take the break, and we'll come back with our remaining moments with this first panel of candidates for the Warren Township School Board, Tony Mendez, Terry Amos, and Cheryl Heiser. We'll be back with more after these.
This is Greg Ballard, Mayor of Indianapolis, and you are listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light. Indy source for inspiration and praise.
And we're talking with candidates for Warren Township School Board. We got another panel coming on at the top of the hour. Back to the phones. And Tracy, hi there.
Hi. I am a parent at one of the Warren Township schools, Stony Brook Intermediate. And I just want to say that I've had the opportunity to spend several hours in the classroom with my son, and because he was acting up. And, you know, I have communication line open with the teachers to call me whenever he's, you know, misbehaving. And I just wanted to say, if some of the parents just would get out there and see what their children are doing, they wouldn't be so hard on the teachers. And I also want to say that last week for parent-teacher conference, I thanked my son's teacher for taking the time out and you know, going the extra step in trying to help him with his work and his behavior. So I just wanted to say I give kudos to the teachers instead of some of the parents bashing them. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name. It's a couple questions on school safety. First, as an incumbent, Tony Mendez, how buttoned up is Warren Township in terms of making it as safe as it can be?
We spent, I tell you, Tony Burchett, who's heads the safety in our schools, they spend a lot of time making sure that the schools are safe. In fact, we're going to be adding some cameras over at the high school, some areas that were not covered as maybe they could have been. There's a lot. I know that with card access, the buildings are locked down except for one door. In some cases, people have to get buzzed in, and over at the high school and during passing periods, all the doors, there's door one, which is typically unlocked except for passing periods. That locks down for the time that kids are passing by. That way someone can't slip in. Certainly Sandy Hook put everyone on notice, and we spend a lot of time making sure that Lakeside Elementary School is right off the interstate. I know anytime there's a high speed chase on the interstate, that building gets locked down more than you would ever think. So
I'd like to add something to that, Tony, if you don't mind. Again, as a former teacher in Warren Township, I know that whenever we had an internal lockdown, there you either did it right or you did it again. Mm-hmm. So there was never an issue with, oh, we're just going to go ahead and keep doing what we're doing and nobody will know. So there's a priority placed on the safety.
Terry?
Another thing Warren has just done, they now have a licensed police office. They have six officers who are really licensed or who are now serving the district, who are visible in the high school and who are trying to make connections with the students and put a friendly face but serious tone. As a parent of children in those schools, I think Warren does a great job of making sure parents are aware of what's going on in the schools too. And when there was something going on with the high school, immediately during the day, I received notification of the event. I was ensured that my children were safe. Same with the elementary school or the middle school. And Warren's doing a great job of trying to have a secure environment and a safe learning environment for children.
Let me ask you, what is the current Warren policy that if a student or someone is caught in a school or on school property with a weapon, who is notified? Is the general public notified? Are the parents and guardians of the kids in that school only notified? What is the policy? Should there be something where not just the school community is notified, but the general public is notified, Cheryl?
Well, as of right now, I know that schools are notified by the the phone connect, but Tony may be able to speak to that a little bit better than I can.
Yeah, the robocall, as I call it, but the connect ed call typically, certainly that school would be notified, of something that happened and maybe even district wide depending on how severe it is. Obviously with social media, you know immediately. The kids know and then the parents know right after that. We had an incident, a couple years ago where, late at night there was, I believe a student had posted something online, right. and of course it got out on social media, so all the kids knew before the parents did. And I know we had administrators that through the night just wanted to make sure that this was just an isolated thing. It wasn't a school-wide, or there were other people involved, and some parents chose to keep their kids at home that day. But fortunately, nothing happened, but. No call went out. I'm sure parents don't want to call at 4 o'clock in the morning. So we had to make that call.
Let me go to Lamont right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. Hi. I just want to say as a parent, in Warren Township and as a, previous, employee dealing with several of the school districts in the city, like the previous caller just said, I think Warren does a fabulous job. They reach above and beyond. I believe reach be above and beyond what is reasonable. And I know that may sound a bit harsh, but they do an awesome job. My point is, and to the caller also that said, teachers being afraid of students. After you've seen teachers being flipped over file cabinets, after you've been called every name in the book, after we find weapons, I'm talking about total city, not only Warren right now, until you have sat in the class on a daily consistent basis, do not pass judgment on a school district. Some of the kids are out of control. Nobody wants to deal with the issue head on. We make excuses. Parents have to be the first teacher.
I get that part. Let me kind of narrow it to the district that we are talking about. Are you talking, be Warren specific.
Okay, Warren specific. Warren is consistent. Warren reaches above and beyond. They're open for communication, both ways. And I think the teachers are fabulous. And I do know as a minority, a black male in the education system, that Warren actively recruits minority teachers.
Let me go to Regina right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, I just got a couple of little questions. One is, what is being done? I work with a lot of kids and families in the community and a great deal from Warren, and a big complaint that I get in dealing with our kids is that a lot of bullying is going on that's not being addressed, and parents have, you know, made complaints or, you know, trying to come get to the bottom of, you know, the kids are being punished for being the victim as instead of the bully. And two, the retention of keeping kids in school instead of kicking them out, you know, or sending them to the alternative school, because I have a couple of kids that's been they're out of school for like 2 semesters, and it's like, how do you educate them even though they're not in the classroom? You know, I understand whatever reason took place, but they still need to get their education and not being sit allowed to sit at home.
Let me go back. Let me first ask the first question on the bullying complaints. Are we talking about complaints this school year?
Yes.
Okay. Hold it. And the parents have followed the written policy on bullying that is in the student handbook?
Yes, I had even encouraged a parent to go beyond and make sure she had it in writing, you know, to the principal and the powers that be, because, you know, her kid is like acting out, you know, hurting herself and all of this.
And there's been a written complaint filed, and the school is not following the policy that's written in the handbook?
From what I understand.
Have they brought that to the attention of Superintendent Cushenberry?
I don't think they went that far.
Well, wait a minute.
They were instructed to wait and see what the school does, and I told them there's no way they can wait and their child is self-harming themselves.
Let me get all of those, because there is a rigid state law now that deals with bullying and the response of a school district. Is Tony Mendez, is that in the written policy that now exists for this school year?
Yes.
And does the policy say the parent has to wait for a response before moving up the chain of command? I doubt it says that.
I don't, honestly, I don't know all okay. of the parts, but I know we have that in place. We spend a lot of time and energy updating our policies to make sure we're in line with city, state,
ma'am, I would say they need to stop waiting for the response and take it directly up the next step, which is to the superintendent.
Okay. Now, what about the kids who are out of school?
When you say they've been kicked out, you mean they have been expelled?
They sent them to the alternative school.
That's not being kicked out. You're still in school.
Right. But, okay, my question is, even if a child is expelled, what plan is it that the kids still get educated, even if at home, online, or something, instead of losing a whole year and not expelled due to, violent behavior or nothing? But what is the parent supposed to do when, because I'm trying to make suggestions to the parents, and it's kind of difficult when, the kid is kicked out of school and the kid is sitting at home every day for a whole year.
And you say you're working as an advocate with parents in Warren?
Hold on.
Let me ask a question. Are advocates allowed to be in a disciplinary hearing in Warren, or is it just limited to the parent and guardian?
I believe that they are. In my experience, I believe that there was an advocate in a previous experience.
Yes. You may want to check different districts and see, ma'am, as an advocate, whether you would be allowed in the disciplinary hearing, in the expulsion hearing.
Okay.
That is the first thing. I think under state law, you're expelled, but then the parent has the right to homeschool.
Well, okay. To answer her question, when they're expelled, they, in my experience, and if it's changed, let me know, but other local public schools are approached about accepting that student,
yeah,
and if that doesn't
work, then
they set up homebound, which is done with the teachers from that district going to that student's home however many days a week is set up, in a neutral location.
Okay, because a parent was not given that option with her child, and he was just sitting at home, and she was frustrated trying to get some help so he doesn't get
did she bring? This is in Warren. Did she bring that up to a member of the elected school board?
I'm not sure who she went to, but she went to quite a great deal of people, and they had a meeting.
Hold on, hold on.
They didn't even have all the members there. They made a decision off of one person.
If she didn't go to the elected school board, then she didn't count to all of the other persons. Does she live in Warren Township?
Yes.
Then she needs to get engaged and listen to all these candidates and make a decision on who she's voting for November the 4th. Our standard closing question with all of our candidates, we're getting ready to change panels here, is how do people get a hold of you to find out more about your campaign? Let me start with Cheryl Heiser. How do people get a hold of you?
You can email me at Heiser, H-I-Z-E-R, schoolboard@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/HeiserSchoolBoard. Or you can call or text me at 317-483-0852.
Terry Amos, you're a candidate for Warren Township School Board. How do people get a hold of you?
You can find my Facebook page, Amos for Warren. I also have a website, amosforwarren.weebly.com. Or you can reach me by text message or phone call at 317-695-3122.
And Tony Mendez, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, you can reach me. I'll even give out my cell phone number, 966-2798. You can also reach me by email. That's Tony Mendez. That's TonyMendez68 at gmail.com.
Tony Mendez. He's listed on the ballot as, I think it's Anthony Tony Mendez, Cheryl Heiser, and Terry Amos. They are three of the eight candidates for Warren Township School Board. You're going to meet some more after the break. It's Warren Township Day, East Side Day on Candidate Tuesday on Afternoons with Amos. Pike and Wayne will be here tomorrow. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.